Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Israel has ramped up its attacks on Gaza. It says it's targeting Hamas militants, but a lot of civilians are dying. Tanya Hajj Hassan is a pediatric intensive care doctor with Doctors Without Borders in Amman, Jordan. She says life in Gaza under Israeli bombardment is the worst humanitarian crisis she's ever seen.
We have at least 50% of the Gaza population who is homeless. We have at least 30% of Gaza's health facilities that are unusable. We know the schools have been destroyed. We know the ambulances have been destroyed.
A landlord in Illinois charged with fatally stabbing a young Palestinian-American boy and wounding his mother has pleaded not guilty. More from WBBM Radio's Andy Dane.
71-year-old Joseph Chuba was formally indicted last week on charges of murder, attempted murder, aggravated battery, and hate crime for the October 14th attack that killed 6-year-old Wadia Al-Fayoumi and sent his 32-year-old mother to the hospital. He's now pleaded not guilty to all charges. Prosecutors have said Chuba targeted the two because of their Muslim faith and was heavily interested in the war between Israel and Hamas.
Jury selection has begun in the trial of a now former police officer involved in the 2020 shooting of Breonna Taylor. Details from CBS's Jim Crisula.
Former Louisville police officer Brett Hankinson is facing a federal court trial of violating Breonna Taylor's civil rights during the botched 2020 police raid that left her dead. Hankinson fired into Taylor's apartment the night she was killed. He is one of four former officers who were charged by the U.S. Justice Department with violating the civil rights of the unarmed 26-year-old black woman.
The United Auto Workers strike is effectively over. The Big Three have reached tentative deals with the union. CBS's Chris Van Cleef says workers got major concessions.
You know, they had been asking for a 4-day work week and a return of pensions, but they managed a 25% pay raise over the course of 4 years, as well as improvements to retirement and a return of cost of living protections as well.
The Supreme Court will hear arguments on whether public officials can block their critics on social media. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum will be watching.
In both cases, these public officials sometimes use their private Facebook pages to announce matters related to their jobs. The Supreme Court will have to decide whether blocking their critics and deleting their postings amounts to state action and therefore violates the First Amendment rights of local residents.
On Wall Street, it was a very good day Monday. The Dow closed up more than 1.5%. S&P 500 was up almost 1.25%. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
As so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, Monday, October 30th, almost November. Calvin, birthday boy Calvin, is on the board.
It's his birthday. Calvin's birthday. How old are you, Calvin?
I am the big 25.
Oh, my gosh.
Big 25. Okay.
Wow.
Oh.
It's very exciting. And Greg Bach is here with me in studio. And Ted Alba is going to be joining us once he finishes. I believe he has a medical appointment.
Oh.
So he will be joining us in just a little bit.
Gotcha.
Once he has got that all wrapped up. Lots of things coming up today. We're gonna start with talking about sports.
Whew.
Just to get it out of the way. But next hour at 11 o'clock, Harry Pulliam is with the Sustain Rural Wisconsin Network. And a listener had actually suggested that we reach out to this organization to talk about the work that they do. And it's really about protecting the environment, and especially related to CAFOs, those big animal operations that are around Wisconsin, and looks like we could be getting more of them as well. So that's coming up at 11 o'clock. He's going to be calling in. I hope you can stick around for that. But first, I thought the one good thing of yesterday's Packer game, Greg Bach.
What's that?
Simone Biles was there.
She's so cool.
That was like,
she just loves life.
She does love life.
Yeah.
And she is married to a Packer. So she was on the sidelines of yesterday's painful loss to the Minnesota Vikings, 24-10. It was not a good game, and it was their fourth loss in a row.
When, I mean, I should have looked this up. I apologize for not knowing this, but when's the last time the I almost said the Brewers. When's the last time the Packers were this bad?
Oh, it's been decades.
Yeah.
It's been decades. And I think that is part of the issue, is that people have forgotten. People have forgotten how terrible the Packers were in the 70s.
Oh, yeah. And the 80s weren't much, but yeah.
It was excruciating. And we just got used to winning all the time.
Yeah. And now we're like the Lions back in the, like, we're like the Lions a year ago, or the Bears, you know, since forever.
Yeah. we're just not used to sucking this badly.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, and, you know, I don't think there's really much anything they can do about it at this point, because it really is such a young team. You're not going to penalize any players, or, like, you know, you've got a brand-new quarterback. You've got a, I mean, I don't know, Matt LaFleur is his fourth season.
I believe so.
You know, they're in that great term we like to use in the Brewers fandom, rebuilding.
It's a rebuilding.
Rebuilding.
Rebuilding. Yes.
We're going for that first-round draft pick.
Okay.
Yep, and we're going to come back next year stronger.
Well, it's because it sure isn't going to be this year.
Yeah, no. This is, I mean, they're two and four.
Two and four.
Two and four. So they're just about halfway through the season at this point.
Yeah.
No.
It's not good. And I just don't think, unfortunately, it's not going to be getting much better anytime soon. And then, of course, we had the other loss, the Badgers, to Ohio State.
Which was expected.
It was expected. At least they didn't get smoked like they did last year.
Yeah.
That was just in the news that Mike Clemens noted that they lost 52-21.
Oh, that's not good at all.
That's not just good. That was last year.
Yeah.
This year, it wasn't. Again, it was another loss. But too, that was a 24-10 game. Mistakes, though. Lots of mistakes.
That seemed like a game that had a lot of pressure on them. I mean, they're it's the Ohio State. And I just, you know what? Wisconsin's having a rebuilding year.
Lots of rebuilding going on.
Yeah.
Lots of rebuilding going on.
Even our precious Bucks, they not.
Yeah. Well, Todd Alba's on the phone.
Okay.
Good morning, Todd. Thank you so much for joining us. How you doing, my friend?
Well, Jane and Greg and Kelvin, thank you. I don't know. Again, technology has. I'm sitting here in my truck in my optometrist parking lot because, you know, of course, he didn't tell me they were going to dilate my eyes. So I'm sitting here like an old woman with big sunglasses on, not able to drive. I had it all set up to StreamYard into my phone. I could hear you guys, but I don't know. So I'm calling in. So God love you both. I'm here to say hello.
Well, we're so delighted you could join us, and I hope your eyes will be fine. How long is it going to be? Do you have to sit there for an hour until your pupils finally get back to normal so you can drive?
Well, I think this is a good excuse just to call the office, the home office here in Madison, and say, I'm here for the afternoon. I can't go anywhere. It's a beautiful, sunny day.
You guys hear that over in Madison? Sorry, Todd's calling in blind.
Yeah, he is unavailable.
Well, Greg, most people would say that's my show every day.
Oh, ooh.
Well, I know that you're a big Badgers fan, and we were just kicking around the Badgers lost to Ohio State on Saturday night. It wasn't a complete blowout, but it was a lot of self-inflicted wounds, it seemed like.
Well, I'll tell you why. I was listening to you guys, you couldn't see me, but I could hear you. And yeah, it is rebuilding for both teams. But I'll tell you what, after this game on Saturday, and I watched a lot of it, I listened to part of it, of course, on the Civic Media app with Matt LaPay and Mark Tauscher, but I'm more encouraged by the Badgers than I am the Packers, because at least with this new guy, Braden Locke, the redshirt freshman transfer from Mississippi State at quarterback, the kid has an arm, and he's football smart. Part of the problem was he was hitting the receivers in the hands. And God love them. I'm sure they're great guys and good players. They're just not, they weren't recruited for this kind of offense. So I think if Braden Locke has some receivers that can catch the ball, if you've got a little bit better offensive line and, a couple of key fumbles by Braylon Allen down the stretch. And of course, one really key bad call by the officials, a non-call against Ohio State, pass interference. All those things line up the other way. I think Wisconsin wins that game. So I saw a lot of potential at Wisconsin, not so much the Packers.
Yeah, again, we were saying the high point of the Packers game is the fact that Simone Biles was there. And from what I've been reading and from what I've been seeing, she was more than accommodating to all of the fans who wanted to take pictures with her, and which I think is wonderful.
What a sweet person.
Yeah. So
that was the high point of that game.
By the way, What the heck's going on in these networks? And I love me some Taylor Swift, but Taylor Swift shows up every other camera take is of her. I watch most of the game. I never saw one shot of Simone Biles. What's up with that?
That's an interesting question.
I've got an answer right there. She's not Taylor Swift.
Well,
I mean,
she's the gymnast in the world.
I understand that, but they're teaching Taylor Swift in classes around the world, how she's adding to the global economies with her tours and music. I loved Simone Biles, and she's done a lot of great things, but she's not the ratings height that Taylor Swift is. I just got to, and honestly, if I was Simone Biles, I'd be happy about that. I'd be happy, but I don't want to be that popular. Who wants to be that popular?
Well, I guess you got a point.
Thank you.
Well,
you heard it here, folks. Todd Albo said I had a point.
Well, you have several good points. I just thought it was, I'm like, would it have killed him to spend 15 seconds and say, hey, here's Simone Biles? You know, she's actually in a, she's actually married to the Packer guy, not just a boyfriend.
True. Right. Well, very true.
Hey, I promise you, if on December 5th, because Simone Biles said that December 5th, she is hoping to meet Taylor Swift at Lambeau Field.
Really? Oh, they're playing.
They're playing.
Well, Taylor's not going to be at the games now because she's going back on tour.
Oh.
So I don't know how long the Eras tour.
Oh, she'll fly back just for that.
Oh, she likes her boy. Mr. Kelsey. And
Mr. Kelsey. And the final loss we're going to talk about was the Milwaukee Bucks. Damian Lillard, when his first game, racked up 39 points in the team's 118-117 win over the Sixers. And then, unfortunately, they lost on Sunday 127-110 to the Hawks. And what, he racked up?
6 points.
6 points.
6 points. I mean, that's not a... They weren't crushed. That wasn't... They're going to lose games. They're not going to be invincible. And what, this is what, like... The fourth game of the season? Third?
Second.
Second. There's, thank you.
Common. 80 more to play.
Yep.
There's a few games to go, is what you're saying.
That's it. The Bucks are terrible. Pack it in.
I don't put a lot of stock in anything in the NBA in October, even November. I mean, it all comes down. You'll wait till after Christmas before things really start meaning anything in the NBA, especially with the talent the Bucks have. And to me, the most disturbing thing about the Bucks game was Flava Flav singing the national anthem. Did either one of you see that?
I didn't.
I did not see that.
I saw still shots. Oh, are you okay there, Todd? You okay, Todd?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm a big believer that you should show some respect to the national anthem. It shouldn't be a stunt, right? And God love Flava Flav. I guess he's nominated for, what, 6 Grammys as a rapper? God love him. That's great. But he does not have the presence nor the voice to – it was a terrible rendition. In fact, I think in our show, that we've been doing a new bit called What's Worse. I think we'll do What's Worse today, Roseanne Barr or Flava Flav singing the national anthem.
Oh, wow. It was that bad?
It was horrendous.
I'm surprised it didn't show up on the news. Like, usually when a celebrity botches it like that, people are like, how dare you?
Right.
Well, and I guess I saw a piece in the morning news this morning. I guess he genuinely was trying and wanted to do a good job.
Yeah.
And God love him for it. But it was like 2.5 minutes. You could tell the players were just like looking around in pain, like, oh, my God, when is this going to be over?
Make it stop.
I mean, the notes were... Yeah, really. It was painful to watch and listen to. And it reminds me years and years ago when I think, Greg, you were a youth director too, your church.
Yeah.
And I went to a youth director thing one time, and the main pastor speaker said, look, y'all, you've got people singing specials in your church, and there ain't nothing special about them. Knock it off. And I mean, that was last night. There was nothing special about Flava Flav and the national anthem.
Well, it just goes to show that that is a much more difficult song to sing than many people realize.
Yeah.
It really is.
It is.
You need to have a pretty...
It's super honest, yes.
Yeah, you need to have a pretty good range in order to cover that song. So one Flava Flav was apparently enough. All right, we're coming up against a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about another loser who just announced over the weekend. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. We are on the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. 24 overnight, under cloudy skies, south winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Snow showers likely tomorrow, 35. Chance for snow showers tomorrow night, 20. About an inch of snow tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 27 degrees.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Calvin is on the board. Greg Bach in studio with me. And Todd Alba, the host of the Todd Alba Show, every Monday through Friday from noon until 2 across the Civic Media Network is joining us on the phone. We're going to talk about the end of Mike Pence, who announced on Saturday he is suspending his 2024 presidential bid. Now, Todd is someone who has worked for politicians and worked in politics for a long time. Why didn't you just say, I'm dropping out of the race? What is with this suspending? You're not going to bring it back.
Oh, well, it all has to do with, you know, as an old professor at UW Platteville, Jack O'Neill was fond of saying, it all comes down to the dollar sign. It's all about money. Because once you end, quote unquote, your political campaign, you can no longer raise money and put towards retiring the debt. So there's a lot of this happens at everything from state assembly and Senate races all the way through the presidency, that you have to use the legal term suspend in order to continue to raise money to pay off your debt.
But it's a matter of semantics, suspend. But who is going to give him money now? Because he obviously is not going to win the presidential. Who's going to give him money to help pay off his debt?
Well, he can raise money through fundraising.
Right. But yeah, exactly. I mean, if he was the governor of Indiana, I'm sure there are rich billionaires in Indiana who are conservatives that say, yeah, look, Mike was a good guy, did a lot of good stuff for Indiana, in their opinion. And they'll cut him a check for $5,000, $10,000 or whatever. It's pizza money to them, and they'll help him retire his debt.
It's not uncommon when I worked for the mayor of Racine, we threw a couple of fundraisers after he had won to retire his debts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's very normal to throw retire the debt. The Clintons have done it. I remember seeing stories about it. It's very common in politics.
Were you surprised by this, Todd? Yeah. I was not. I'm surprised he lasted this long, and quite frankly, I'm surprised that DeSantis is still in the race. I thought DeSantis would have been the first one to drop out.
Well, again, it comes down to money, right? I mean, Mike DeSantis, love or hate him, he was able to raise a heck of a lot of money. He, unlike Pence, is a sitting politician, sitting governor of Florida, so he has more ability to raise money. So I think that's the only reason he's still in this, because he started with and still has more money than Pence, and he has an active base from which to fundraise, at least in Florida. To answer your question directly, no, I was not surprised by Pence dropping out. And, you know, well, I think it's the larger story here is it says a lot about, and I'm going to stop calling it the Republican Party. You know, it's the Trump Party or the party formerly known as Republicans, because what this signifies is Mike Pence had the audacity, maybe the one kind of thing we at least I'm willing to give him credit for, is he wasn't willing to overtly participate in an insurrection. He said, you know what, look, I'll do a lot of stuff, but I won't break the Constitution and vote to overthrow a legitimate election. And he presided over January 6th, despite the insurrection, brought the Congress back and certified the election that Joe Biden won. That was his baseline, right? Of all the other things, that was his baseline. And for that, he's paid the ultimate price, which is you are now ostracized from the party of Trump because you wouldn't go along with him. And I think it just signifies that, in conjunction with Mike Johnson, a Trump sanctified acolyte, being elected speaker last week, there is no more. I mean, sure, they'll still use the name Republican, but that party is dead. My former party that I left in 2011 is dead. There is only Trump and Trumpism left.
I absolutely agree with you.
So frightening.
And I can remember on January 6th when I believe Trump Jr. was addressing the crowd before the attack on the Capitol, saying this is the party of Trump now. And I went to some Republicans that I was working with at the time, and I said, what do you think about that? Oh, no, that's not true. That is not true. This is not Donald Trump's party. It will never be. We're Republicans. And, well, look, sorry, you're the Trump party now.
Yeah. No, it's sure, there's going to be people that try to push back on that and say, no, that's not true. But I think, Jay, what you just said, that's what you have. People, you want to get into an argument, I guess, or at least point things out, kind of push back and say, well, wait a minute. The guy has 91 criminal indictments. He is now head and shoulders, not only in the polls, way above anybody else. Now Nikki Haley is tied and probably going to overtake Ron DeSantis for the number two slot in Iowa and New Hampshire. She's probably the only alternative left. She and Chris Christie. I mean, DeSantis is going to be toast. We'll see if he makes it to Iowa. He probably will, again, because of his money. But you know, we'll see. But, yeah, so you look at the money. Again, last check, I think it was, what, 3 weeks ago, last reporting, Trump had $35 million cash on hand. Closest competitor was DeSantis. He had five.
Oh.
You look at the poll numbers. I mean, this primary is over for all intent and purposes. The only way Trump is not the Republican nominee is if something unforeseen happens that he, and again, I'll be very clear, I'm talking of natural causes, but let's say he should pass on natural causes, or if he ends up in jail and he decides to drop out. Because remember, just because he might be indicted and convicted and sentenced, that does not preclude him from being the Republican nominee in 2024.
That seems like an issue that should be resolved. I just
seems like it, right?
Right? I am just amazed if he is convicted that he can still run for president, and that people are fine, yeah, would be fine with that.
They are. His base is absolutely fine with it. In fact, it excites them more if you look at the polling on it.
Oh yeah, so, if he had like twice as many indictments, they'd love it even more.
Absolutely. And let me be clear. There are still, I think this is the important thing we try to, I've heard you guys do it or Kristen do it. I try to do it. There are people all across Wisconsin that still say, well, I'm a Republican because, you know, they voted for people like Tommy Thompson and others that were much more reasonable and mainstream. There are people that, there are county clerks out there who are good people that run as Republicans because that's just the ticket that wins in their county. They're not, you know. So I want to be very clear. I'm not talking about those people, and they're probably going to keep
broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The situation in Gaza is becoming more dire by the hour, says pediatric intensive care Dr. Tanya Hodge Hassan of Doctors Without Borders.
This is indiscriminate bombardment of one of the most densely populated areas on Earth.
2.3 million people, at least half of them, so over 1 million of them, are children.
The auto worker strike is essentially over, says CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
You know, they had been asking for a 4-day work week and a return of pensions, but they managed a 25% pay raise over the course of 4 years, as well as improvements to retirement and a return of cost of living protections as well.
The Supreme Court will decide whether public officials can block their critics on social media. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
These two cases might send a message to public officials to stay off of social media.
The Texas Rangers beat the Arizona Diamondbacks Monday night 3-1. The Rangers now have a 2-1 lead in the World Series. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A teenager learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skill through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinier in for Kristen Bry. Just a reminder, every Wednesday, Kristen is joining us here on the show to give us updates while she's off on maternity leave. So make sure you join us on Wednesdays starting at 10:33. Right now, though, Calvin on the board, Greg Bach in studio with me, and our friend and colleague Todd Alba joining us from his car with his very cool shades on.
Is that a truck, Todd?
Yes, it's my Dodge Ram. I'm nice. Sitting here in the GHC parking lot on a beautiful fall day. I'm waiting for my eyes to undilate.
You're going to be able to make it to the station on time for your show at noon?
I was there a song like that, making it to the church on time. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Otherwise, it might be the Aaron Zomer show today.
Todd's show starts at noon right here across the Civic Media Network. Right now, we're going to do the good, the bad, and the weird in Wisconsin. The good is from an article that's from WPR today. According to a new report from the University of Wisconsin Extension, poverty in Wisconsin is down from highs after the 2008 crash, but still higher than it was two decades ago. In the last 30 years, Wisconsin saw its lowest poverty rates between 1995 and 2003. At that time, it hovered around 9%, stayed below that number from 1998 to 2003, and finally falling to a low of 8.1%. According to one of the people involved in this, one of the reasons the Wisconsin is having a tough time getting back to the lower poverty rates is because of the shift away from manufacturing jobs and more service jobs, and also the lack of union membership.
That doesn't sound surprising to me.
Yeah, it really doesn't sound surprising to me. Again, it's good that the poverty rate is down. It's not great that it's not back down to the levels where it was. But it's interesting when you look at this article, and especially when you compare us, when you compare to Wisconsin to surrounding states.
Yep.
Like Minnesota.
And Illinois.
Minnesota recovered a whole lot faster than Wisconsin did. And what they did differently was Wisconsin went into a time of fiscal austerity.
Yeah.
Under Governor Scott Walker. During the same time period, Minnesota raised taxes and spending temporarily to fight the effects of the 2008 crash.
I think they also legalized marijuana, which provided a nice tax revenue bump.
And in Illinois.
Just putting that out there.
And in Michigan, yes, as well. Does that surprise you, Todd?
No, because I think the other thing that, and I haven't read the entire article, but the other thing that Minnesota has historically done that we used to lead this, by the way, but under Walker, was attack public education and stopped investing in public education. And I think what a lot of people forget, or maybe may not realize, is that our school districts across Wisconsin, in many cases in rural Wisconsin, where there's a couple, there's a spouse, one person will work for the school district and she or he will be the healthcare provider for that couple. The other person is a small business owner, or, you know, whether it's working for the trades or whatever. And many of those couples rely on those school districts for their healthcare, their retirement, that sort of thing. And when Wisconsin stopped, you know, when they got Act 10 and renegotiated and it gave the school districts the ability to just throw those benefits out, a lot of teachers have and their spouses have lost those benefits or had them reduced. Also, their spending hasn't kept up, or their salaries haven't kept up with inflation, which has reduced spending across Wisconsin. All of that domino effects into a lessening of wealth, a lessening of spending in particularly across Wisconsin in general. And I think the lack of investment in public education compared to what Minnesota has done, which they've gone the opposite way, has made a big difference as well.
Yeah, it's shocking to think back to when Wisconsin was the model for the country as far as leading in education and educational initiatives, and just the damage that the Walker administration did to the cheers of so many people. And I've never understood why we want to cheer the decimation of our public schools.
Well, and the stuff he has done, the stuff he did in his time now, the Republicans in Madison have just taken that baton since he's left and ran with it, and it's gotten worse. I mean, they're still holding raises hostage at the UW campus. They don't get rid of DEI. I mean, it's like just, I mean, they're just not going to be happy until we're just like, just the poorest, the least of all of the country.
The Mississippi of the North.
Yeah. Mississippi.
Mississippi. It's disturbing. Right. And go ahead, Todd.
No, I was going to say, I think you also mentioned, hit on something else, Jane, in my opinion, which is this lack of funding in manufacturing and good paying jobs. I mean, look at what, again, I haven't read the whole thing because it happened right before I went in for this goofy eye appointment.
Sure.
But I saw that UAW, that General Motors is settled. I think that part of the settlement with Stellantis, who does Chrysler Dodge products, if I understand correctly, part of that settlement is reopening the Belvedere plant in a suburb of Chicago. A lot of us from Madison, when we go down to Chicago to the airport or whatever, you pass that plant, mm-hmm. And they're going to reopen that. And again, it's a commitment. It shows, and Rick Smith has talked about this on his program in the evenings. It shows that membership to unions work and striking works, and that, you know, when you commit to manufacturing in the United States, it helps everybody. And again, under Scott Walker, you saw what did he commit to? He committed to bringing down the rules on the environment, particularly while across Wisconsin, but in northern Wisconsin, to bring in quote unquote thousands of mining jobs. They passed the legislation. How many jobs are there right now? Zero.
Yeah.
They committed to Foxconn in southeast Wisconsin. What, a couple, 300-400 jobs right now? Not the thousands that were processed. In the meantime, people lost their farms, their homes under eminent domain. It's been a complete crap show as far as Foxconn goes. So Walker committed to these things that were boondoggles that he got, you know, political help with, but it did virtually nothing for the people of Wisconsin. And I think that's what people who still are voting for the MAGA ticket, you should ask yourself, what did that get you? What did it actually mean to you? Don't listen to the rhetoric from conservative media. What did it actually get you in your community?
You make such such a good point, Todd. It really is.
I would love for someone honestly to call in and say, I am a Republican, I voted for this, this is why, and this is what I got. Because it's a valid question that's been asked for years now. What did you get? Not as a millionaire, as a billionaire, as a farm owner, as a small business business owner, as just a regular person living in Wisconsin, making 40, 50 grand a year. You punch that ticket. What did that vote get you? And I'm asking that question with pure curiosity and total respect.
Absolutely. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, if you want to call in and or text. I see we have Jack from Merrimack on the line. Good morning, Jack. Thank you for listening to the show. How are you doing today?
Oh, just peachy keen, thank you. There's so many things that I'd like to say about it. First of all, one of the reasons people keep voting Republican is because of the extreme tribalism that's been driven over the last 7 or 8 years. I mean, it used to be a little bit, yeah, I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat. Now it's, I'm a Republican, everybody else is wrong, and we need to just clamp down on them. And we've seen that come to fruition, of course, at the state level in the legislature, where there is, in fact, because of the gerrymandering, there's no voter consequence for whatever they do.
Right.
But I wanted to, as a retired teacher, I wanted to address a couple of things. First of all, one of the reasons why I retired was Act 10, and that was about when I retired. What happened was this. I was a science teacher for over 40 years, and I taught at levels from sixth grade through university level. I taught in private, public, and parochial schools. And at the public school, when I retired, I was going in about 6:30 in the morning to set up the lab, and I'd get out 4:30, 5 o'clock in the evening. It's a long day.
Yep.
I had 5 science classes I was teaching when that was the standard. When there was no way that you could negotiate for conditions of employment, when I retired, our 6-person science department, each of whom was teaching 5 classes, they didn't hire anybody to replace me.
Oh.
They simply had everybody teaching 6 classes.
Yep.
That's the first thing that happened. And of course, several of those people, in fact, lost money because they had to pay more for their insurance because of Act 10 as well. The other thing I want to say is this. This has continued to take money away from our public schools to this day in the last budget. And unfortunately, Governor Evers signed this budget, something like $3,000 per student more was given as welfare to private schools. And our public schools, out of the surplus, got zero, nothing, nada. Oh, everybody says, well, what about the $300 or whatever it was per student? Well,
it was $300. Yep.
Yeah, and that's we didn't get any of that money in our public schools. What that is they said, okay, if a referendum is approved, then you can raise that money. So out of that, $7 billion surplus, public schools got zip. And that's really, as a former school teacher, that just really angers me.
I bet it does, Jack. It just must make your blood boil. And the more I think about the damage that was done under that administration, I remember when he fired all the scientists from the DNR board. They couldn't mention climate change anymore. You brought up Foxconn, Todd. I can't believe that is not more of an albatross around the Republicans' necks. Every time people drive past that thing, the dome.
Yeah, I drive past it every single day. Tanya said on the live stream she had a question. Maybe Todd, you can speak to it. That was, didn't this tribalism gain traction during the Newt Gingrich, under the leadership of Newt Gingrich and the obstructionist efforts he instituted?
Yeah, I would say yes. I was around for that in the 90s, and I think certainly that was part of it. In Wisconsin, I look at 1992-94 era when you had Chuck Quala, Democrat in the Senate, and Scott Jensen, Speaker of the Assembly. And that's when in Wisconsin they started to forbid staff and even legislators from going out. And they were told on both sides, Republican and Democratic, that if we see you having dinner, if we get word that you're having dinner with a senator or representative from the other party, your committee chairmanship is gone.
What?
That's real. Yes. And Quala was guilty as well as Jensen.
Is this still to this day? What happens?
It's not written, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, when I left the party 11, I left the legislature in 14. And yeah, I mean, it was the only place that you were really allowed to be seen with fellow staffers is at Jenna's downtown at a bar, as a staffer having a drink.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it is that is prevalent in Wisconsin politics and legislature. And I don't know all the leadership now on both sides, but at one time it was certainly, I would say, more so Republican. But to be honest, it was not clean, quote unquote, on the Democratic side either.
All right. Well, we gotta go to break. We will be right back. We will continue this conversation. The good, the bad, and the Wisconsin weird. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together.
Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy overnight with lows around 24. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Snow showers likely at times tomorrow, 35. About an inch of snow tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 27 degrees.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Galvin's on the board. Greg Bach with me in studio. And our colleague and friend Todd Alba joining us on the stream. You can always watch us on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. You can download the Civic Media app and listen that way. And we're talking good, bad, and Wisconsin weird. Just want to wrap up with a text. We were talking about how the poverty rate has improved in Wisconsin. It is still not the lowest it's ever been. And kind of the results of the previous administration in the governor's mansion in Wisconsin under the Walker administration. Texter Wes from Middleton says, so you're telling me tax cuts and tax cuts alone as a result worsening state services then neglecting public education and infrastructure hasn't worked?
What?
That's mind-boggling. Yeah, it is mind-boggling. Also kind of mind-boggling because we're going to move on to the bad. Unfortunately, Matthew Perry, the actor from Friends, passed away over the weekend at the age of 54.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a couple of weeks, apparently, until the toxicology tests have been returned. But What a sad story. What a sad thing.
I was absolutely shocked. I told you before the show, I was more upset about it than I thought I'd be. I was really, really upset.
I mean, he'd been very open about his struggles with addiction, and he had struggled with addiction for decades.
Yes.
But it seemed he had been clean for last couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, they say he had a heart attack in a hot tub, and I don't know. The thing is like, when you've been an addict for so long, your body isn't in the right form anymore. And sometimes your heart can just stop. And that's heartbreaking.
It is.
But it's just the fact. I hate having to say this, but it's like, I really hope the toxicology report comes back clean. And it's just like, this was a heart attack. This was just something, you know, but I just don't want to know. I just don't want to hear that it was
a relapse.
Else. Yeah.
That would be a shame.
Yeah.
That really would be a shame. We wish him peace. And the one thing that I had heard him say, because he wrote a memoir and he was very open about his struggles with addiction, but he said, I know when I die, my obituary is going to be all about Friends and appearing on the show Friends. He said, what I would like people to walk away with is that I helped other people get clean.
And he will. I mean, that's like he helps so much. He was such an advocate forever. And a lot of, you know, not the famous people, the people we've never heard of.
Sure.
Opening his home to people who needed a place to stay. He basically turned his home into a sober living facility.
Wow.
A Hollywood mansion.
Wow.
Yeah. He was very dedicated to helping others. And that's what's so heartbreaking. He's such an advocate. And, you know, and that's the thing is when I think of Matthew Perry, I do think of Friends, but I don't think of that first. I think of all the work he did.
Well, that would be a wonderful thing for people to take away. And again, he wrote a memoir where he was very, very open. It's called Friends, Lovers, and the Big Terrible Thing. So if you are struggling with addiction, maybe pick up that book.
Pick up a phone.
Make a phone call. and ask for some help because there is help out there.
Yeah.
All right. And now finally for the weird, Todd Alba. And you may have heard about this already. This is from last week.
Instantly, she goes to me for the weird. Thank you very much. Go ahead.
This is such a Wisconsin thing. So there was a Noodles & Company in Beloit. And last week, footage shows a deer going in for it's noon.
Yeah, it's time for lunch.
It's lunch hour. And yeah, so the deer just kind of jumped into this restaurant, this Noodles & Company at lunchtime. And I love this article from the AP. It says, the animal then explored the dining area and kitchen before exiting out a back door opened by an employee. He explored it. He's a deer.
It was quoted as saying, hey, do you have an 8-point buck deal? Hey-o! Calvin, you love that joke. I could tell. You love that joke, Calvin. Happy birthday.
By the way, happy birthday, Kelvin. Mine was Saturday. So
you're a Scorpio. Yeah. Another Scorpio.
Oh my God.
No, I'm 21st. I'm a Libra.
Oh, you're a Libra. Okay.
Yeah, I'm always trying to balance it out. But happy birthday, Kelvin. Another October birthday, at least.
Tom from LA also texted in, Calvin, happy birthday.
Oh, everyone loves Calvin.
From one Scorpio to another, have a wonderful, wonderful birthday.
I have a question for Todd before we go to break. It was a really quick question. Why are you after Luke Mathers? Why are you so angry at him that you have to, like, just when take over his time slots? We shuffled the time slots again. I mean, you did it to him with...
Thanks for ripping off the scab. I appreciate that.
I'm just saying, what do you have against the wonderful, beautiful, well-spoken, handsome Luke Mathers?
I have absolutely nothing against Lukester. He's okay. A good guy. But as it turns out, I just get Luke Mathers' broadcast sloppy seconds. I keep calling him in every time slot. And whatever is left over in that time slot, they give me. So I have no control over it. I wasn't my doing. But he is going to be on still every Tuesday for Tuesday Tansons with Luke. He can be on an either hour, and he's in his old time slot.
Oh, nice.
Both time slots you've taken.
I had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
I just go where they put me, and, you know.
Luke's a pretty busy guy. Luke's got a lot of things going on behind the scenes here at Civic Media, so.
Because he's important. He's needed. Yeah. He's smart.
Yes, he's crucial.
He's crucial. He's got a head of hair on him.
And gosh darn it, we like
him. We like him.
And by the way, we're trying to book the deer for our noon show. So we'll see.
I will be really jealous.
If we can get it.
I will be really jealous if you get to talk to the deer.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it might have been a cousin to Bongo or Boingo, whatever the hell the name is for the bug.
Bango. Bango.
Bango.
Bango. That's the name. Oh my God.
I like Boingo.
Hi, I'm Bango the Milwaukee Buck.
I would go with Boingo, but I don't think that's going to fly. We only got about a minute left. What's coming up on your show starting at noon?
Well, if we can't get the deer, we'll probably talk a little bit about what's going on for the weekend. I'll recap things a little bit. We have a guest. I can't remember her name. She's coming on, though. She's a critic in L.A., actually.
Cool.
And we're going to be talking about if the writers can actually get a deal as well. Probably the actors, the same deal as the writers strike see if we get some of these shows back on. But you know what? I've kind of gotten into Yellowstone a little bit. So. Yellowstone.
All right.
Broadcast on CBS.
Yeah. All right, Todd Alba, thank you so very much for joining us. We will talk to you next Monday. We have the news coming up next. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over.
then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.